Into two different texts. We'll read from Acts chapter 13 and then Romans chapter 1. So put your finger in Romans chapter 1. They're just a few pages apart, by the way. In Acts chapter 13 will be our first reading, and then we'll go quickly to Romans chapter 1 for the meat of the message. Again, I want to thank the preacher for allowing me to come and preach. I welcome every opportunity I get to be able to preach the Word of God. I know all of us could give testimony this evening how good God has been to us. And indeed, He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior that we serve. And we're not worthy of His goodness and His grace and His mercy. And that's what the real definition of grace is all about. Unworthy, but yet He still loves us and manifests Himself towards us and wants the best for us. And sometimes we have a hard time behaving ourselves, don't we? I know that's true with your preacher, and it's true with your speaker tonight. And the old flesh is strong, and there's a constant battle, is there not, between our flesh and our spirit? And then we all experience that. But we will win ultimately the victory. The victory has already been won for us on the cross. Amen. It's a matter of us now just behaving ourselves the best we can and looking into Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Anyway, that's not the sermon. But in Acts chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse 6. Paul and Barnabas on the very first missionary journey. And we pick up the reading in verse 6, reading through verse 12. Acts 13, verse 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, thy hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. This sorcerer had two names, Bar-Jesus and Elymas. I want to refer to him tonight as Bar-Jesus. What he was trying to do was bar Jesus from the deputy's life. He tried to pervert the word of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people going about today, multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people today, doing the same thing that Bar-Jesus did. They're trying to bar Jesus from the lives of millions of people. Now, turn to Romans chapter 1. I want to talk to you about those who would try to pervert man, to pervert mankind. There's an ongoing perversion today, and has been going on even since the days of the Apostle Paul. There's always been those who would side with Bar-Jesus. Those false prophets, those sorcerers, if you will, that would try to keep man from the truth of the Word of God, who would try to pervert the gospel, to twist the gospel, to twist the Word of God. It's all through our society, and it's always been in our society. But never like I've seen it, as I have seen it in the past couple of decades. It's absolutely epidemic what's happening around the world, and especially what's happening in America. Now, I don't know what's going on in China. I read reports. I don't know what's going on in Russia. I hear the news. I don't know what's going on in England. I read stories. I don't know what's going on in a lot of countries. But I do know this, in every country, there are Bar-Jesuses or Elimas who are trying to bar the gospel, stop the truth, to hinder people from being saved. There's always been, always will be, but like never I've seen before in my life, those who are going about trying to pervert mankind. Now this perversion, my friends, I believe as we see it here in Romans chapter 1, is threefold. Number one, there is a spiritual perversion at hand. Look at it with me now. Reading beginning in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Those are the Bar-Jesuses. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now look at verse 23. And changed, or even a better word there, and perverted the gospel of the incorruptible God into an image like a corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who, what's that next word? Changed or perverted the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now the first type of perversion that takes place is a spiritual perversion. And there are those on our college campuses. There are those in our high schools. There are those in our grade schools, professors and teachers who know the truth. God has so revealed Himself to them by nature itself, that they know the truth and the reality that there is a God which they are accountable to. But it cramps their style. It goes against evolution which has been poured into their noggins from grade school through high school and all through college. That the truth of God has been changed into a lie. The truth of God's Word, that we were created by God. We see that at the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The very first verse of all the Word of God just defines it right there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's the explanation for our existence right there in Genesis chapter 1. But folks don't want to believe that. Because if they were to believe that, they have to understand and have to admit they're accountable to God. And they didn't want to be accountable to nobody, especially to supreme power or a supreme being. So they choose not to believe that, and so they choose to believe something that has been conjured up by people like Charles Darwin, who came up with this theory of evolution. A theory, by the way, that it's never been proven, or nor will it ever be proven, because it is a perversion of the truth. It is a lie. Now, they have been exposed to the truth, because nature itself declares there is a God. But they turn a blind eye to the truth and then change the image. Now listen now. And pervert the image of God like to the image of men. By the way, that's what the Greeks did. And all their gods, Apollos and Zeus and Mercury and all their other gods, they changed the image of a living, real God, Lord God Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, into an image of man. And created a superman, Zeus, Mercury, Apollos, others they gave names to. And says these people are really gods. And changed the image of a perfect, uncorruptible God to the image of corruptible man. Listen, the best man you may know is a corruptible person. You have a wonderful preacher, but he's got a corrupt nature about him. So do I. And ladies, that sweet, kind, generous, wonderful husband you got, he's got a corruptible nature. And you see it once in a while pop its ugly head, don't you? And men, you've got that sweet, kind, wonderful, thoughtful, just obedient helpmeet that God has given you. But sometimes she raises her ugly head and you see her humanity sticking out, don't you? Even the best people we know, a loving mate, a dear parent, wonderful grandparents, the most loving child or grandchild you ever embraced, they have a corruptible nature. But our God is incorruptible. And what has happened over the centuries, that man has taken the truth of an uncorruptible God and changed it to an image of corruptible man. Or it says, a four-footed beast. You know, in some cultures like the Assyrian culture and the Egyptian culture and even the Roman culture, they would take different, like a lion or cats or snakes, take beasts and make creatures from their hands, would mold them or chisel them from stone, make them from clay, and then set them up and say, these are our gods. Buddhism, that's been going on for centuries, taking material things, making their own gods, and then bowing down before these that are shaped and created like a beast of the field and saying, this is my God. It's been going on, folks. There is a spiritual perversion going on even today, and much so today, where our young people, we send them off to public schools. Oh, I realize there's some good godly teachers in our public schools. I know that. But there's also a lot of Bar-Jesuses there. You might remember the story. This took place in Florida. I forget the name of the college there. Everything happens in Florida. Florida's a weird state, okay? I know because I'm from Florida. Everything happens in Florida. But there was this college professor back a few months ago who was teaching a class, and I think it was like in literature or something like that. And he had their student, all of his students, to write the word Jesus on a piece of paper. He says, now I want you to stand up and put that paper on the floor. Now I want you to stomp on that paper. How many remember that story? Happened in Florida. It made national news. One young man who happened to be a Mormon was in his class. He refused to do that. He says, I will not do that. So really, what was that teacher up to? He was a Bar-Jesus. He wanted to bar Jesus, our Savior, from his classroom. He wanted them to stomp on the name of Christ. That's what he wanted. And folks, there's other teachers, other professors in our grade schools, our high schools, and very much so in our colleges are up to the very same thing, trying to pervert the faith of young people. There's a great spiritual perversion that's taking place, certainly all through America and literally all around the world. At one time, England, during the days of Spurgeon especially, and John and Charles Wesley, and for centuries, England was a hotbed of Christianity. The first to send out missionaries came from England. Did a great job preaching the Word of God. Great revivals took place all through the British colonies. You look at England today. At best, they are a pagan nation. These great one-time churches now, many of them, a Muslim mosque. Faith has been perverted in one time in a hotbed of Christianity, the nation of England. And so it goes. Country after country, and certainly we see it right now in our own country. There's been a perversion of faith. Perversion. A spiritual perversion is at hand. Now that's bad. That's horrible. But it leads to something that is even more horrible, I believe. Look at verses 26 and 27 in our text here. Verse 25 says, "Changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Verse 26, "For this cause, because they changed the truth into a lie, and more concerned about serving the creatures than the Creator, for this cause," verse 26, "God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did," what's that next word? "Change," or can we call it pervert? I believe we can. Look at it again. "For even the women did pervert the natural use unto that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves a recompense of their error, which is meat." Notice God gave them up to vile affections, for the women did change, and the men did change, and did pervert the natural use. The women, it says, became morally perverted. Now, first there was a spiritual perversion. Then became a moral perversion. And folks, if you see anything that's so clearly manifested now in America, we see where it's gone from a spiritual perversion to now a huge moral perversion around the world. But especially here in our own country where we have a bird's eye view of it. Moral perversion. Women lusting after other women in a sexual connotation. Men lusting after other men in a sexual connotation. Not desiring the natural use of a woman. No, many men say, "No, I don't want the natural use of a woman. I want to have a changed relationship, and I want to have my relationship with a man." That's perversion, folks. And women don't call them homosexuals. They call themselves lesbians. They want to change the natural use and relationship of a man now to the relationship of another woman in a sexual relationship. Moral perversion is absolutely epidemic in our nation. You know, North Carolina is part of the Bible Belt. Amen? If we were to find a buckle of the Bible Belt, I think we might buckle it in Nashville. Asheville, North Carolina. Couldn't we call it the buckle? I mean, here you get this Bible belt all through the South, and right in the middle of it is the buckle of the belt, Asheville, North Carolina. Bible belt. I talked to a truck driver who went to a Baptist church in Maggie Valley back a few years ago. He was driving his rig back from California on Interstate 90. In some place out there out west in North Dakota or South Dakota, wherever that goes through. He said he saw a big billboard. And it says, "Visit Asheville, North Carolina, a gay-friendly community." The buckle of the Bible Belt. I'm given to understand that most of the city councilmen in Asheville are open homosexuals. They have parades. They just had one just a couple of weeks ago. And many women would run around in that parade in downtown Asheville with no garments above, showing their bare breast. At the Bible Belt. That's happening right under our noses. Can't even imagine the perversion out in San Francisco. It's New York and Chicago, these major cities. After all, this is the Bible Belt. No, I'm sorry to say that our colleges in North Carolina are just as liberal as the colleges in California. We have liberal professors. You have liberal professors right here in Appalachian College here. Was it Appalachian State? Liberal. Just as liberal, and are teaching their doctrine to the young people we send to those schools. And why these kids come out believing? What their professors teach them. Oh, there's a few stubborn Baptists that sit in their classes and argue with professors. But the professor hangs in there and he gets tenure and continues to spread the perversion, trying to pervert young people spiritually and many times trying to pervert them morally as well. Folks, it's taking place all around us. Not only in our schools, but on the airwaves, television, movies, the internet. You can't hardly watch any primetime television show. On that show, they have and put in a wonderful, good light, homosexual couples. They're coming out now with commercials doing the same thing. Trying to make seem to be normal what God calls not normal. And trying to take something that is perverted and change it into an alternate lifestyle when God calls it a reprobate lifestyle. All the church or the change begins is a spiritual perversion of God's word. Let me show what I'm talking about. Back a few years ago, I happened to be listening to a radio, and on this radio program, the host of the radio program was interviewing a homosexual pastor. You ever heard of the Metropolitan Church? There's a Metropolitan Church, not all, but almost all of them that's got the name Metropolitan Church is a homosexual church. There's one in Bradenton, Florida, where I'm from. This guy happened to be a pastor of Metropolitan Church. He said he taught the Bible in his church. And people were calling in and talking to him, asking him questions. And someone called in and asked him about Romans chapter 1. He says, no, that doesn't mean, that's not what that means. It's not talking about homosexuality. And it's just pretty clear what it is, all right? It is what it is. And the guy tried to change and pervert the Word of God to change it to mean something else. He says, no, it's not what it's talking about. But he never gave a definition of what he thought it was talking about. He just said, that's not what it's talking about. Then I've heard other people who are practice homosexuality, tried to defend it, their stand, their position as homosexuals, tried to defend it. And I've heard them even say this, well, I'm a Christian. I just happen to be a homosexual Christian. Oh, and I read the Bible. And when I read the Bible and I hear things like Romans chapter 1, what I understand is this, Paul was a homophobic. Trying to justify their immorality, their sin, and their perversion. What God says is perverted is perverted. And what man says is perverted may not be perverted. But they can take a truth of God's word and pervert it. We see first a spiritual perversion, then a moral perversion. Lastly, look at the mental perversion. It goes from a spiritual perversion, makes its way into a moral perversion, then it goes into a mental perversion. Look at verses 28 through 32. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Verse 28. For even when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to, what does it say? A reprobate, what? Mind. They did not like to retain the knowledge of God, the Word of God. They did not like to retain that. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. And that word convenient there could mean, it could say normal, to do things which are normal. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, whispering, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. Notice this now. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covet breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There's a tremendous danger here, folks, and I see it happening. When this spiritual perversion takes place, perverting the Word of God, changing the image of God into that of a man, then you see following soon is a moral perversion like we've never seen before in our lifetime. Then it leads naturally now into a mental perversion. Have you ever tried to engage in a conversation with someone who has been spiritually and morally perverted? Have you ever engaged one in a conversation and tried to persuade them of the truth of the Word of God and morality? It's a futile effort. Because God has given them over to a reprobate mind. You can't reason with them. They got their mind made up. Don't confuse them with biblical facts. They have got a truth conjured up, distorted and twisted. And then God says, okay, you won't believe the truth. I've sent the truth to you. I've revealed myself by nature. I've sent preachers. There's books been written full of the truth. The Bible's full of truth. You've been exposed to truth. You rejected the truth. You continue in immoral behavior. You refuse to retain me and your knowledge and my word and your knowledge. You refuse it all. God says, I must now give you over to a reprobate mind. I can't think of anything that's more tragic than a person who's been given over to a reprobate mind. Have you ever watched television, some of these talk shows, where some extreme, way far left liberal will get on there and say the most outlandish things, and you can't believe what they're saying? They're inventors of evil things, is what the Bible says. They conjure up things in their mind fed by Satan himself. Belittling the things of God and taking that which is good, godly people, and just running and ripping them apart. There's a late night television fellow by the name of Bill Morrow. Who knows who I'm talking about? Some of you do. If there was ever a perverted, twisted man who perverts truth, it's Bill Morrow. He gets on his television and absolutely ridicules Christianity, calls us fools, calls us idiots. He's an extreme liberal mentality. Deeply in love with Barack Obama. The man, if there's ever been a man given over to a reprobate mind, I believe I've seen that guy on television. And he's had on his show sometimes some conservative people. I never watch him, but I see different segments that's on Fox News. They'll show him with some outlandish thing he's made or statements he's come up with. And he'll have sometimes a conservative person on his show only there to belittle him and make fun of him. And he hates Christianity. Hates Christians. A man who's been given over to a reprobate mind, you do better talking to the wall than talking to him. Because the wall will not curse you and belittle you and make fun of you as you try to persuade him in the Word of God. He just turns a deaf ear and will invent evil things against you and against the Word of God. I heard him malign the Bible, ridicule the Word of God, a profane, vulgar, pathetic man. And hear me now. There are just hundreds of thousands, if not millions, in our country just like him. And a lot of them are professors in our colleges. And what is so sad? Most of what we see now in America, perversions of spiritual perversion, a moral perversion, and a mental perversion, has came to a head, has multiplied itself grossly in the last 40 years. Things are happening now that you wouldn't even imagine what happened 40 years ago. Babies slaughtered in America through abortion. 40, 50 years ago, you wouldn't even think about something like that. Open homosexuality flaunting itself in Asheville, North Carolina? Nah, unheard of 50 years ago. 40 years ago, but commonplace now. And it's happened right underneath our noses. And we sit back and scratch our head and wonder why. I don't know, preacher, if it'll ever be turned around or not. Don't know. The only hope of turning our culture around is through the Word of God, through Christ, through winning people one by one. That's the only hope. But then the thought occurs to me, preacher. Satan has got so many tools. The media, the liberal news media, television, internet, movies. He had movie stars who pervert all the pervert and point out all these things and promote these things. He's got so many tools. The thought comes to me, preacher, have we crossed a line someplace that will never go back? I did most of my growing up in the 50s. I graduated high school. Kids, I graduated high school 1962, by golly. 51 years ago, I graduated high school. 51 years ago. I'll be honest with you, folks. I often think, oh, for the innocence of the 50s. Our children, my children, and my grandchildren will never experience that innocence again. Not as a nation. Oh, there's pockets of innocence like that, but not as a nation. Maybe we've already crossed that deadline to never return. But I'll be honest with you. I wish my grandkids grew up in the 50s like I did. I found out this week I'm going to be a great grandpa. A great grandpa. My grandson, he and his wife are going to have a baby in April. I'm going to be a great grandpa. I often wish, preacher, that my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren had the same America that I had. But there's so much perversion going on spiritually, morally, and mentally. Only, I believe, preacher, a divine act of God stepping in and doing something miraculous will ever turn it back. And whether God does that or not, I don't know the mind of God in that area. Do you? But then I think about this, preacher, that in the last days, wicked men and seducers will grow worse and worse. And thinking about it, I guess we're in the last days. So I guess I can forget about the 50s. But here's the thing I want to leave with all of us. In the midst of the perversion of the spiritual, of the moral, and of the mental, we have to take a stand and do all we can do for our families, in our friends, and in our church, realizing there's much spiritual, moral, and mental perversion that's going to take place, but we got to take a stand and stand strong and do all we can to help those to never be involved in a spiritual, moral, or mental perversion. That they'll stay strong spiritually, strong mentally, and strong morally. And influence the best we can for those that we love and have a strong testimony of righteousness. Well, I do know this. Jesus is coming again. And I think in looking at the times, it's surely going to be soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and help us to fight the good fight of faith until He comes. Amen. Let's all stand.